نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: طوبى لعبد جعله الله مفتاحا للخير ومغلاقا للشر، وويل لعبد جعله الله مغلاقا للشر ومفتاحا وجعله الله مغلاقا للخير ومفتاحا للشر، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable Ulama, respected brothers, young friends in Islam, I recited a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a very beautiful and a wonderful message that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam gives us in this particular hadith. Remember that every saying of the Prophet alayhi salam, every particular statement that he made, it is filled with great wisdom. And I always say that we need to recite a lot of durood upon the Prophet alayhi salam, just for this one great gift that Allah, that he left behind. It is the words of wisdom, short and sweet sentences, but packed with wisdom, with hikmat, with a lot of knowledge. This particular hadith, let us translate this hadith sharif. In this hadith, the Prophet alayhi salam is making a dua. He's making a dua for a particular person in his ummah. So he says that, طُوبَى لِعَبْدٍ جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ مِفْتَاحًا لِلْخَيْرِ. طُوبَى is a word that is used in two meanings. One is, it can mean jannat. So he says that I make a dua of jannat for that person, and it can also mean a dua of congratulation. So I congratulate that person in my ummah that Allah has made him miftahan lil khair wa mighlaqan lil shar. Allah has made him a key to open good and a lock for evil. In other words, Allah Ta'ala has given this person a gift, the characteristic, the quality, that he opens up doors of good and he closes down, he locks up the doors of evil. And then he makes another dua, which is actually a curse. And he says, وَيْلٌ لِعَبْدٍ. Allah curse that person. And wail also has got two meanings. It can mean a particular section of Jahannam. So the Prophet ﷺ is making dua of Jahannam for that person. Allahumma hafazna, Allah save us. Or it can mean destruction. Either way, it is bad. So he says, destruction for that person in my ummah, ja'alahu Allahu mighlaqan lishar. Allah made him a key, miftahan lishar, a key to open up evil, wa mighlaqan lil khair, and he locks down and he closes up the doors of good. So these are two people in the ummah which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described, and he made dua for the one, and he made a bad dua for the other. Bad dua, we know, it's a curse. Now this is what me and you, and this is the message I would like to share with the brothers today. Allah Ta'ala give us the ability firstly to make amal on this myself. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua. Now, is there any doubt in anyone's heart that the dua that he made was not accepted by Allah? Or that the dua was accepted, the bad dua that he made. You can never ever doubt that the dua he made was accepted by Allah. When he cursed someone, Allah Ta'ala accepted that curse. Now this alone, it shows us how serious the matter is. That if a person lives a life in this dunya, where he opens up avenues of good, and he lives a life, he leads a life where he closes down avenues of evil, it means that person has earned a special dua, a good dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And such a person's life will always be prosperous. He will always have prosperity. He will always be successful, even in this dunya. There's no doubt about the success of the akhirat. And on the contrary, a person who leads a life where the things he does, the statements he makes, it opens up avenues of evil, of sin. Shar can have lots of meanings. It means any evil, any sin that is committed. So a person has got this characteristic in him that whatever he does, he is opening up the avenues of sin and evil. And he closes down the avenues of good. He blocks the avenues of good. That is a person who earns the curse of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, respected elders, brothers, I don't need to tell you, I don't need to emphasize that which characteristic, which of the qualities we, me and you, need to imbibe, and the qualities that we need to develop and inculcate within us. We need to be people, and especially if we are proud to announce to the world that we are the ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we need to be people who open up the doors of good and shut down the doors of sin and evil. This is something that every Muslim needs to look at, consider how you can go about in your life to achieve this particular dua of the Prophet alayhi salam and this quality that he vested within his ummah. Now remember, the Hadith Sharif says that Allah has made this, ja'alahu Allahu. Allah makes him like this, that he opens up good and he closes down evil. Allah makes that person. Now it doesn't mean, dear brothers, like some of us think, that if Allah Ta'ala makes a person like this, we must just sit back, do nothing and expect Allah to make it, or make a dua that, ya Allah, make me like that. We make dua every day and do no effort. Anything in life that we want to achieve, any good, obviously a mu'min with iman, the mind that Allah has given us, the heart of iman that Allah has given us, we want to achieve good. You cannot achieve it only through dua. Yes, we must make dua, but there has to be an effort. So don't think that, well, the Prophet says here that Allah makes a person like this, Allah makes him one who will open up the avenues of good, and Allah makes him one who closes down the avenues of evil, so I must just sit back and do nothing. No, I need to make effort. The dua is there. Allah will make us like that. The condition is that we take the first steps in this direction. We make the effort. We start seriously and consciously thinking of how we can develop this in our lives, that what we do must lead to good. It must invite others towards good. What we do must discourage others from evil. So the effort must come from our side. Allah Ta'ala will eventually transform our entire lives and make us like that. So what do we need to do? Firstly, understand this well. To achieve this, you don't need to be an alim. You don't need to be a rich person. You don't need to be a very famous person in this world. Every quality that the Prophet alayhi salam wished for his ummah, every quality, it is attainable by every single member of the ummah. If it was not attainable, then na'uzubillah, I dread to say this, but it means that the Prophet alayhi salam did not fulfill his mission. And it is impossible for even a Muslim to, even in his wildest imagination, to ever think that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this dunya and he left the deen incomplete. So it means that if he made a dua for such a person and he encouraged the ummah, it means that every single member of the ummah can achieve this particular status in life, that what you do will open up good. It will invite others towards good. It will display good to others and encourage others to partake of that good or to participate in that good. And the way we live, it will discourage people from sin. It will cut out the roots of sin. It will close down all the avenues of evil. Every single mu'min can achieve this. You can be a parent with one child, with two children. You can be a person that no one even knows or recognizes in this dunya. But you live your life in a way that you achieve this quality, you achieve this particular goal in life. It does not have to be, it might not come overnight. I always give examples. If I am correct, I think this particular talk, mashallah, we've got this broadcasting system here where the ladies at home can listen also. So if the ladies are listening, our sisters, I always tell them, how many of us ever heard or know the mother of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah? Do we know her name? Even the ulama won't even know who she, What's her name? Where did she come from? Yes, we know Imam Shafi rahimahullah was born in Gaza. And when he was 2 years old, his father passed away. His mother took him and they went and settled in Makkah. And he grew up there. The mother of Imam Malik rahimahullah, whoever knows her, she is a woman that is confined to the realms of oblivion in the history of the Ummah. Yet, respected elders and brothers and respected mothers, look at the great achievement these women attained in their lives. They just one thing they achieved. They open up one door of good, and that is they reared, they nurtured an alim of deen. And the rest is now history. It was such a wonderful door that they open up. Never ever will that door close down till Qiyamah. Imam Malik rahimahullah was set on that path of ilm. Imam Malik says, rahmatullah alayh, that when I was about 6 years old, then my mother called me one day and she gave me ghusl. Now we know Imam Malik was a great muhaddith, a great faqih. My mother gave me ghusl. She put a clean set of clothes on me. She tied the amama. She applied itr. And she says, my son, I'm taking you now to the madrasa. You are going to start your first lesson in the field of learning. And she took him to the Masjid al-Nabawi where the muallim, the teacher was sitting. And he started teaching Imam Malik rahimahullah. Whatever had to be taught at that tender age, the age of 5 or 6 years, Imam Malik says that was the day my mother set me onto the path of ilm, of ta'aleem and learning. And ever since, this was my attitude. Whenever I went to learn deen, I would dress up in clean clothing and put my amama and I would make ghusl. And he says, even when I started teaching deen, I never attended any lesson without making ghusl and applying this particular and wearing this uniform and applying perfume and itr. And then I would go off and teach the hadith or whatever lesson had to be taught. So that mother of Imam Malik, no one knows her, but she made sure that in spite of her being a woman in the first case and not having the help of the father, not having that support of a father, there was no father, his father had died when he was still a young child. Yet the mother set him off on that path of ilm. She opened up that door. She was the miftah, the key that unlocked this door of ilm for Imam Malik rahimahullah. And what did I say? That till qiyamah, those doors will remain open. So for any mu'min, any person in the ummah, the goal can be attained, it can be achieved, but we need to make that effort. Let us consider the lives we are living. Every single one of us asks the question, are we really doing things in our lives that will encourage others towards good, that will invite them? The way we live, are we opening up avenues for our children, for example? That the day we leave this dunya, the legacy that we leave behind, it is a legacy of khair, of good, of a'mal saliha, of ilm, a legacy of Quran and sunnah. Or will it be the opposite, that when we leave this dunya, we leave behind a trail of destruction in our wake? Allah Ta'ala save us, Allah protect us. People that do evil in this dunya, people that commit evil, from this hadith, respected elders, brothers, what we learn, that deen is not only about your own ibadat. Deen is also about how you can affect the lives of others. This is what this hadith sharif is saying. Because what does it mean to be a miftah? Miftah means a key. What does it mean to be a key for good? It means that you open up good, not for yourself, but for others. Otherwise, we could have confined our a'mal to ourselves and do our own amal and not concern ourselves with the next person and not even worried about what happens to our wives, our children, the people that follow us. But no, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had another vision for the ummah. And this was essential for the preservation of this deen. Remember, we can also call it, we can use another name for this, Amr bil Ma'ruf, Nahi alil Munkar. It's just another name, but it is the same concept. The deen, this deen of ours, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi, rahmatullah, one of the great muftis of the former time, the former grand mufti of the Indo-Pak subcontinent, He made a statement. He wrote a kitab, beautiful kitab, very brief, called Sunnat wa Bid'at. Sunnat and Bid'ah. He wrote a kitab on this. And one of the points he made there, he says that one of the reasons why Allah, or how Allah protected this deen from bid'ah, it is because He created people in this deen, and He imposed upon them the duty of Amr bil Ma'ruf Nahi anil Munkar. That we as Muslims, we've got this duty, every single one of us, to at least teach others and propagate to others. If this was not found in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then our deen would be subject to a great amount of interpolation and a great amount of adulteration. And this is what happened to the Ummahs before. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah makes this observation. He says that the Ummahs before, they were not keen, or they were not successful in fulfilling the duty of Amr bil Ma'ruf Nahi Alin Munkar. They never concerned themselves about opening up doors of good and closing down the doors of evil. And the result is that they were sitting with a deen, with a religion that was totally out of proportion. It was totally mutilated beyond recognition. And we can see this in the Bibles, in the deen of the Nasara and the Yahud. We thank Allah that Allah guided the Ummah. He gave us proper common sense, proper reasoning. He gave us proper iman, and we find this ummah took the deen along with this concept in mind, that the way we live, it must be to open up the good and to close down the avenues of sin. So I was saying something, I just thought of something now, that those people in this dunya, may Allah not make us among them. And there are people like this in our very ummah, in our midst, people that will sell substances to corrupt the minds and corrupt the health of the youth. Now, as long as those substances that these people sell are consumed by the youth, the curse of Allah descends upon these people. Drug dealers, people that sell alcohol, people that sell all these evil and filth, they are the target of Allah's curse. And they are the target of the curse of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because they are the ones that close down good, and they have opened up all the doors and the avenues of sin and vice. And in this manner, we can see people that run these gambling casinos and these bottle stores and the shabins, and all these people, we make dua that those Muslims that are involved in these evils, Allah ta'ala guide them, Allah give them the tawfiq to make tawbah and take them out of this filth and this evil rut that they have fallen into. Now, in this manner, respected elders and brothers, what me and you need to understand, let us ponder carefully, that the life we lead, our lives, it must be based, our focus should be that we try and live a life to open up good. And we can start within the confines of our home. I gave the example of these wonderful mothers that left behind such wonderful people. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayhi, someone asked him that, oh Abu Hanifa, how did you achieve this great status of fiqh? He said, I achieved it through the guidance and the khidmat that I gave to my mother. The khidmat that I gave to my mother, I got her du'as and the guidance and support of my mother. So in this manner, it starts at home. A father, a mother, we can achieve this by looking at how we can open up avenues of good for our children. And the very first condition, respected elders and brothers, is that our own a'mal should be good. Our own a'mal should come right. We cannot expect to do sin and then impose upon our children the command to do good and to do their salah and to perform their ibadat when we are neglecting these duties. We've got to be in the forefront. We've got to lead. We've got to set the example. Then it will open up that door for them. It will open up those avenues of good. Our akhlaq, the way we conduct, the way we treat the next person. And remember, this akhlaq that Islam has ordained, it must even apply when we are dealing with non-Muslims even with the kuffar. And in fact, sometimes Imam Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah mentioned something. He says there are times when with the kuffar you need to be more careful how you conduct yourself. You need to be more particular with your akhlaq, because at least with a Muslim, the Muslim understands Islam. If you behave maybe rudely with a Muslim, or you behave in an uncouth manner, the Muslim understands that, well, this is not Islam, this is his own nafs that's making him behave like this. This is not Islam. But if you behave like this with a kafir, you will now cause a reflection, a bad reflection on your own deen. Because the kafir will think that, well, these are Muslims, well, I'm sure this is what Islam teaches them. And this is what the kuffar will say today, that your Islam, what type of Islam have you got when your Muslims behave like this? Yes, there are some who are clever enough and understand that, well, it is not Islam, it is the behavior of the Muslims. But in our akhlaq, we need to adopt such akhlaq in our lives that when we leave the impression upon a person, it is an impression of good. It opens up that avenue of good, and a person becomes impressed with our akhlaq. Many people, alhamdulillah, I've seen them, I've met them, they've got such good akhlaq, that when they leave you, you are encouraged to imitate them. You would like to copy what they are doing. You would like to follow their way of behavior. And this is good with our youth. And one of the very important aspect of this, I can just add, let me add a footnote to this whole discussion. An important aspect of this is, respected elders and brothers, it is the way you communicate with the next person, and especially with our young people, especially with your children, the way the parents communicate with their children. This is going to leave that impression, that good impression, and this is going to open up that doors of good. It will close down our a'mal, our akhlaq will serve to shut down those doors of evil and sin. Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam made this dua for us. We hope, it is our hope and our dua, and also with the effort must be there, that Allah ta'ala gives us the ability to achieve this. Miftahan lil khair wa mighlaqan lil shar. Not the opposite. Allah ta'ala must not make us among those that our a'mal are such that we open up the avenues of evil. We invite others to follow our footsteps in evil and sin. And we discourage others to follow us in good and in a'mal saliha. And the only way we can achieve this, I repeat this again, that our a'mal should become good, our own a'mal, and secondly, the akhlaq should improve. Akhlaq, when dealing with people, whether it is in your business, whether it is in your profession, whether it is at home, in the confines of your household, don't be like people who will be good and well-mannered outside the home. When they enter the house, they are rude and ill-mannered towards their wives and their children. One should be even more particular about your behavior inside the confines of the home. We make dua that Allah Ta'ala give us all the ability and the tawfiq, the guidance to achieve this level of a'mal, that we can start opening up the doors of good for others and close down the doors of evil and sin. And then Allah Ta'ala make us among the recipients of this dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he gave a dua of congratulations. He congratulated us and he gave us the dua of Jannah for those people whom are the keys that will unlock the doors of good and will shut down and close up the doors of sin and evil. Ameen, thumma ameen. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillah.